Thank you. You can be seated. I just want to point out to my brother, I think they think we've got COVID.
I think that's it.
Yeah, everybody's sitting way back there, all right? So that's all right.
Move back.
Well, all right. Let's get together and sit in the back. All right, yeah. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here, all right? It's good to have you tonight. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 3 John. 3 John, if you will. And we're going to look at a few verses here and just try to talk to you about something, challenge you a little bit, I hope, tonight. In this day of very cheap Christianity, very shallow Christianity, and sometimes kind of a vindictive Christianity even, you know, all right? So you're there, 3 John, down, look, if you will, in verse 9. The Bible said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I mentioned to you last week that in the book of 3 John, there's three men mentioned, and we covered the first one last week. We talked about Gaius, and tonight we're going to look at the other two, you know. Just want to preach to you a little bit on Diotrephes or Demetrius, which one, all right? Which one you're going to emulate in your life. I don't know that it'd be easy to find two men that present such a great contrast between them than these two men. It's amazing. Now, I believe both of them were Christians. I believe both of them are saved people. And but man, what a great contrast there is between these two men. Such a difference between them. And I just want you to look with me, look at them just for a few minutes, just a few things. Really four main points. The first one, I want you to see the desire for preeminence. The desire for preeminence. The Bible, the first thing the Bible tells us about Diotrephes is that he loveth to have the preeminence among them. He's the fellow, the Bible says, that loves to have the preeminence. What does that mean? Well, he likes to be seen. He's the fellow that likes to be seen. He likes to be lifted up. He likes to be in that top spot. I want to be there. And boy, I wish that all the Diotrephes had died out in the first century A.D. But it didn't happen that way, all right? Man, it just didn't take place like that at all. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of people like Diotrephes in the world today that share his characteristics. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean people that will work as long as it's a job that puts them in a prominent position. Hey, if it puts them out front, okay, as long as they can be seen, they're willing to serve. You know, now, if you're asking me to grab the toilet brush, now, wait a minute, preacher. That's not a very glamorous job, okay? And that's not something we want to rejoice over. I've had people come and say, hey, preacher, the toilet's overrunning back here. I go, don't you know how to run a plunger, you know? Is it too difficult a machine for you to master? They'll come tell somebody else. You know, it's amazing, though, there's people like that. As long as they're going to be in the public eye, if you will, as long as they're going to be out front, hey, I'll serve, I'll do something. They said, we want the preeminence. We want that visualness. We want to be seen. We want to be out there in front. And Diotrephes was that kind of guy. He said he loved to have, the Bible said he loved to have the preeminence. He proved himself to be unwilling to receive other brethren and help them along the way. He wasn't willing to do that, all right? He goes down here in verse 10, the end of the verse, it says, he forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. Some other folks, I mean, here's a guy that missionary evangelist come along and he said, we don't want anything to do with you. Missionary drops in, you know, Brother Mahaney drops by his church. Diotrephe says, well, we're glad you're here. When are you leaving? Yeah. Right. You know, man, it's just don't want to share anything. Hey, we're talking about somebody that's a selfish individual. Amen. Somebody that's motivated by selfish intent, make his own way, have his own way, do his own thing, only interested in having and doing his own thing. That was it. I mean, I'm just interested in that. And, you know, hey, if you always want to have the preeminence, then what that means is you've got to reject others that might be a little bit of competition. A little bit of competition. My uncle pastored for years in a lot of different places. The last place, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he used to tell people, he said, only have two kinds of preachers come here to preach at his church. He said, some that are so lousy, I know the church here won't want them. He said, and the other kind is they're so good, I know they can't get them, all right? Now, he was kidding, okay? He was kidding about that kind of deal. Hey, but I'll tell you, there's some guys that are insecure. I remember when Brother Oftedal first moved to this area, and he visited a lot of churches, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling this, because I'm already in it now and I can't back out, all right? He came, you know, and he finally talked to us and he said, you know, I'm thinking about wanting to join this church. And he, would it be all right with you? And I said, brother, that'd be fine. The fact that, you know, you've pastored somewhere else, I don't think you're coming down here to take our church. I don't think you're coming down here to do that. And, you know, but if that's what the Lord led to, well, then the Lord led that way, all right? But I wasn't worried about that, all right? Wasn't something I worried about. I didn't feel like, hey, you can't come. I still enjoy having him preach. Amen. Enjoy listening to him preach and giving him that opportunity. But look at Diotrephes. Diotrephes on the other side of the scale. Look what the Bible says about him in verse 10. Verse 10, notice the Bible says there that he's prating against us with malicious words. Prating against us with malicious words. Prating means, refers to fluent, if you will, but empty. But empty. So what does that mean? Well, it sounds good. Sounds good. Have you ever, I hate to bring this up because some of you folks are way too young, but did you ever hear Professor Irwin Corey? Professor Irwin Corey. Brother Mahaney, don't shake your head. You're too young, all right? Professor Irwin Corey was a comedian. And he always dressed kind of in a, I guess, like a frumpy, you know, suit. And I think he wore tennis shoes, if I remember correctly. And his hair was always kind of mushed up, you know. And somebody would ask him a question. They would ask him, said, well, Professor, we're so glad to have you here. We need some help with this subject. And they would ask him a question, you know, a scientific type question. And I wish I could give you the kind of answer that he did. But he could talk for 5 minutes and say absolutely nothing. I mean, it sounded sort of good, all right? But when you really, if you took it apart and examined it, those of you YouTubers, look him up, all right? Professor Irwin Corey. And man, he would just, he would talk and it was nothing. There was just nothing there in it. But he would go on and on, you know, like he talked like you would think a professor would, all right? But said nothing. Well, that's the kind of thing that Diotrephes did. He talked a lot, sounded good, but didn't say anything. But notice the Bible said it's malicious words. Malicious words. Hey, that's the kind of words. They've got one intent. They're there to hurt. They're there to make somebody suffer. Boy, there's a lot of people like to talk that way. A lot of people like to get together, and they like to run their mouth and hurt somebody else out here or over there. Run down somebody else. Because, you know, if you can run somebody down, it makes you look better, right? No, not really. But that's what people think. If I can run somebody else down, it'll make me look better. Hey, that was our friend Diotrephes, okay? That's our friend Diotrephes. He's just that kind of guy. He wants that preeminence. He likes to talk. He likes to run down people. He likes to make folks suffer. Kind of person he was. But don't you see this? I believe with all my heart that person's driven by pride. Driven by pride. A man to think only of himself as if nobody else could do what he was doing. Nobody else could do what he was doing. Hey, he was the best there, so nobody else could do it. And what a prideful attitude. Nobody else could be a blessing to the church but him. Nobody else could do it. Nobody but him. Take your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Here's a verse that, Diotrephes didn't believe. He said, what? Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But wait a minute, before we get excited, there's a lot of Bible verses a lot of people don't believe. You say, well, how do you know? We just look at their life. See how they live. See, it's not so much what you claim, it's how you live that matters. It's how you live. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Better than themselves. Let me tell you, Diotrephes didn't believe that verse. He didn't believe it. By the way, anybody that seeks to have, always wants the preeminence, they don't believe it either. Now, they can say they do, but they don't believe it. You know, when you think, well, I'm the only guy, and if it wasn't for me, or I'm the only, you know, I'm the only lady, I'm the only one, then you've got the kind of attitude Diotrephes had, and it ignores the Word of God. It discounts anything anybody else might have and anybody else can do, and it makes you, you know, you think, well, I want to look better because I'm going to run everybody else down. Can I say this to you? That kind of person is very dangerous. Very dangerous to people. You talk about danger, I'm talking about especially in the house of God. Especially in the church. Because it'll hurt people in a local church. And people that get hurt in church oftentimes never go back. Never go back. I've known of people that got hurt in church and they were out of church for years. For years. Because their feelings got hurt. And some people don't care about that kind of thing. When you do that kind of thing, I always look at it this way. That individual's got a very narrow view of the work of the Lord. It makes the Lord's work somewhat of an exclusive club instead of an inclusive, loving body of people where we say, hey, there's a place for you and there's something for you to do. We don't feel like there's only one that can do everything. We don't feel that way, all right? Man, I'm glad there's people in this church that have the talent and the ability they've got. I'm glad we've got a Mrs. Sadowski and a Mrs. Wilson. I'm glad they're in this church. You said, what's special about them? Try teaching the class they teach. Tackle that crowd, all right? Man, you know, I've had people tell me for years and years of work with teenagers, and I've told people, man, we're getting ready to go to camp, taking a bunch of teenagers, we're going. I've had people say, there ain't no way in the world I'd do what you do. I wouldn't go with a bunch of them teenagers. Hey, I don't mind teenagers. But give me 5 3-year-olds, they ain't going to happen. Either they're in trouble or I'm out, all right? I thank God for people that can deal with that. And they're able to do it. They've got the talent. And the kids just love them. Love them. Why? God's blessed them with that ability. Listen, let me say this to you. The work of the Lord is not an exclusive club where only a few are good enough. That's not it at all. Hey, God can use people. God can use anybody that'll give himself. Now, he may not put you with teenagers. He may not put you with 3-year-olds. But he'll find a place for you, and he has a place for you. But a guy like Diotrephes, he hurts people. Folks, this is such a sad thing to me because you not only see a Diotrephes It's not just among, if you let me use this term, the laity, the members of the church. But boy, a lot of times in the leadership, it's the guy at the top, the pastor. And boy, sometimes it seems like folks are building their own personal empire instead of laboring in the vineyard of the Lord. We're not sending Brother Mahaney to South Korea so he will build a monument to himself. No, he's going over there laboring in the vineyard of the Lord. All right, he's over there. He's doing over there what we need him to do. Because he's reaching those folks in South Korea. Because remember, God's called us to go into the world. Called us to go into the world. All these missionaries' names on these walls, they're helping us do what God's called us to do. Thank God for them, man. Thank God for them. I've often thought what it'd be like to have to go to a foreign country, learn a new language, and then begin to communicate in that language. Boy, I took 3 years of Spanish in high school. And I tell people now it's done me a lot of good. I can order fluently at Taco Bell, all right? I can go in there, man, and I tres burritos, por favor. And I can order fluently right there, all right? That's the sum total. But I'm amazed, had some kids at school today at lunch, and some of the girls in my wife's class, I don't know what got them started, but they started asking, what's this word in Spanish, and what's that word in Spanish? Every word they asked, I could remember it. But if I had to stand in front of a Spanish-speaking person and carry on a conversation, you know what would happen? The only Spanish word I'd be able to remember would be, sí. That'd be it. That's the only thing come to mind. But, hey, thank God. Hey, we're not in an exclusive club. We're not here seeking preeminence. We're here serving God. Serving God. That's what's going on. But wait a minute. I want you to, just so you'll know, the message is not negative all the way. Look at verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. Here is some directions for the positive, if you will. Beloved, follow that, not that which is evil, but that which is good. That which is good. Look, we have a choice. We're not to imitate, we're not to follow that which is evil or those who are evil. That's not what we're to do. Yes, there's some diatrophies out there, but we don't have to follow them. We don't have to imitate them. We just don't have to do that. Instead, the Bible said we're to follow, we're to imitate that which is good and those who are good. Now, when I say those who are good, I'm talking about good in the sense of doing what the Bible says. That is what's good. That is what's right. It is not what's right in the eyes of the world. A lot of what's right in the eyes of the world tonight is as wrong as it can be. Dead wrong. It's politically correct, but it's scripturally righteously incorrect, all right? Wrong as it can be. But we're to follow that which is good. We're to find us somebody like that. And isn't it wonderful? The Bible turns around and immediately gives us an example. Because in verse 12, it mentions a fellow named Demetrius. Demetrius. You say, what do you know about him? Just what's found in that verse right there. That's enough. He hath a good report of all men. Good report of all men. There's somebody to follow. There's somebody to follow. You want to imitate somebody? Find somebody like that. Find somebody like that. You know, we live in a day where people worship superheroes. Man, I just go, come on. And, you know, it doesn't bother me except when I go on a church website and I'm looking at it and it's talking about the staff and it says, these are the staff's favorite superheroes. I thought, have these people not grown up? You know, it's okay. You know, if you're a little kid, all right, okay. That's fine. But my soul, if you're grown, it's time to quit dressing up like some weirdo. It's time to quit playing games, all right? It's time to get right. Find somebody that's doing what's right and imitate them. Find somebody that way. I'll never forget, it's one of the last things I said at Mom's funeral. And I said, you girls that are here, you young ladies, I said, you want somebody to emulate her. Do like she did. She lived a godly life. She served God for 60-plus years, 70-plus years, actually. And God used her, but she just used herself. I mean, she wasn't out in the front, but, you know, what an impact she had. What an impact. You know, find somebody good. Find somebody that's doing what's right instead of some stupid punk, you know, some knucklehead, some unreconstructed hippie. You know, I look today, I see these guys that are in their 70s with a long ponytail, and I'm going, that was a long time ago. Haven't you gotten over that? Hey, find somebody who's doing what's right. Emulate them. Follow them. Here's a fellow we can do. Notice what the Bible says about him. He says, but that which is he that, getting the right verse, and it says of the truth itself. Here's a fellow cared about the truth. The truth was important to him. He stuck with it. Well, isn't that what we're to do? Isn't that what we're to do? Just a very simple thing. Just stick with the truth. Just go for it. Hey, look, you and I, we've got a choice tonight. We have a choice. You can follow the life and pattern of Diotrephes if you want to. Hey, a lot of people do. You can be a source of disruption and destruction. You can be like that. You can be the one that's always complaining. You can be the one that's always finding fault. You can be that one if you want to. You can run your mouth promoting yourself and denigrating everybody else if you want to. When given a chance to serve, don't do it unless it's going to put you out front where everybody can see you, all right? Only do what other people can see so they can brag about you. Now, you can be like Diotrephes if that's what you want to do. You can. If you don't get your choice, you can say, well, I could have done better than they did. I could have done a better job than that. You can be Diotrephes. On the other hand, you can choose to follow the life and the pattern and the testimony of a fellow named Demetrius. Just say, you know what, I'm going to stick with the truth. Well, preacher, times are changing. Yeah, I think I'll stick with the truth. I think I'll just stick with the Word of God. Yeah, but the world, you know, I don't care. We're going to stick with the Bible. We're going to stick with the truth. We're going to make a big deal about the truth. That's Demetrius. So live, if you will, that all can speak well of you. All can speak well of you. I've heard preachers say in Reddit, you know, a little, or not necessarily preachers, but Reddit a little, you know, where they're trying to fill in space in a paper, and it'll say something like, live so that when the preacher talks about you at your funeral, he won't have to lie. Hey, just do what's right. Do what's right. Do what's good. Follow that which is good. Follow that truth. Oh, man. Hey, the world doesn't need any more Diotrephes. There's enough of them. But it sure does need some more Demetriuses. Need some more Demetriuses that said, here, as the Mahaney's saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. The world needs more people like that. Definitely. The world of Christianity would do better if there were more Demetriuses. What are you going to do? Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight. You would help us to examine our own heart, our own life, our own situation. And Lord, help us to be honest. If we want to, we can point the finger at somebody else and blame somebody else for our own self and our own condition. We can make excuses. We can glibly just roll out with some reason why we don't do what God says. Well, Lord, the truth of the matter is, honestly, we really know what's right. Lord, I don't believe there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know what's right to do. Lord, I pray you'd help us, everyone, to decide we're going to so live that all men might speak well of us. Stick to the truth. So live that we might honor and glorify you. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I told you we're going to do something a little different tonight, and this is the time we're fixing to do that, which is different, all right? What I want to ask you to do is, don't go until I say go, all right? But we're going to split the ladies out. Y'all are going to go back to the teen Sunday school classroom, okay? And I think there's enough chairs back there for you. If not, one of you can sit on the, what's that, the hockey game, the hockey table. Make sure it's the lightest one, okay? But wherever you need to, there, I think there's room back there. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Ms. Mahaney to come back and speak to all of y'all. You say, what is she going to talk about? She's got an hour and a half sermon, all right? No, she doesn't. Here's what she's going to do, and this is what Brother Mahaney's going to do with us men in here. And we're going to leave the camera running so the folks that are listening and that are with us maybe on YouTube, you can get on it, in on it too. They're both going to present to you what you can do to help them in Korea. Amen. They're going to give you some specific things that they need you to pray for. You can pray for them, all right? They're going to give you some very specific things that they would like for you to pray for them and pray with them about. Personal things and the work. You know, you and I have never been a missionary in a foreign country. Now, I hope we've been a missionary here, but we've never been a missionary in a foreign country. We don't really know what they face. So they're going to tell you that, okay? So ladies, if you would go back to the teen Sunday school room, you say, where is it? It's back there, all right? Just go out the door, out the foyer, hang a right immediately, and by the bathrooms down there on the right-hand side, there's enough ladies. Men, if you would, I'd appreciate it if y'all kind of move on up and get up relatively close. And Brother Mahaney, you come ahead, come to the platform. There you go. That's the thing to do. Get up there close where you can hear what's going on. And so I'm going to ask Brother Mahaney to speak to us. And hey, Brother Dunbar, would you go back and make sure they've got enough chairs? If you would, please, sir. Just in case. It's going to be close. But all right, if you men just come on up. I mean, you don't have to sit on the front row, but just wherever. Slip in there. And I'm going to ask Brother Mahaney to speak to us just a little bit. Hey, and when he gets through, we're going to gather around him. We're going to pray for him, all right? We're going to gather around him. We're going to pray for him just a little bit. So, Brother Mahaney, come ahead.
So, awesome, ladies.
Lean into that mic pretty heavy.
Do it my son did the first time he sang and just eat it.
If you have to.
All right. So, preacher asked us this afternoon for some specific things. Our immediate prayer request is our trip. As you all know, Korea is being very strict about the entrance of COVID and trying to make sure that it doesn't come into their country. And it's happened. People have brought it into the country. And so they are going to require us to quarantine for 14 days as soon as we land. That's if we make it through the airport. So Lord willing, we will make it through the airport and to our vehicle, and then we can quarantine at home. If not, then we have to be quarantined by a government facility at the tune of about $1,800 a person. I've got five, so I don't know many missionaries that might have that kind of money. We don't. So pray that we will make it through security. That it won't be, even if we don't make it through, there's still a chance that the next morning we could make it through. There's a lot of variables with that. So pray specifically for our trip. It's a lot different than last time. But we're prepared because last time we got stranded, so we can live in a hotel if we need to in Seoul. But just pray for us as we travel.
Did you tell me Friday morning, 2 o'clock?
Yes. So if you're an all-nighter type person or up late working, or those that are on the live stream, we will be landing at 2 a.m. Friday morning here, 4 p.m. in Korea. So if you're awake and you're just thinking about us, pray that we can get through without any fevers, no cough. Those of you that have heard my middle child, he coughs like a 90-year-old man with COPD. Even when he's got a tickle, it's got to be this nasty hack. So just pray that he doesn't do that while we're in front of somebody who's going to be watching us. Pray that we can get through that. That's our biggest prayer request right now. And then once we clear the 14 days of quarantine, we get to get back to work. So pray for our family. Leela has a friend. I know we talked about that in our prayer letters. Her name is Issa. Issa PCS is out in November. Her husband is going back to the States. So she'll only have about a month with Issa. Pray that God will give her another friend, another woman that she can come alongside, that she can be a friend to, that she can help grow. We watched Issa grow while we were there with her before we left, and then COVID kind of shut everything down, and the military has been really strict about coming to church. So pray for Leela that she can find a friend, a female friend, someone that she can confide in, someone that she can spend time with. Go and get coffee when the kids are being crazy. It's every day. But just pray specifically for her in those times. I'm a military kid, and so I can say goodbye. I know how to say see you later. Those of you that are in the military, have been in the military, you understand. It's easy. We learn to just, it's life. Leela's not that way. And so saying goodbye for her, see you later, is very difficult. So just pray for her as we're going to be doing that. Pray that God will give her a friend specifically. Pray for Hyunshul. That's the mother of Nahyun and Gahyun. We've talked about them quite a bit. The mother, her name is Hyunshul. She is very close to salvation. Pray that God will save her, that we can see her salvation in the next year or less. And for her husband as well. I believe if Hyunshul gets saved, it'll be very soon that he'll get saved as well. So pray for them. They're very close to our family. They've already told us that Saturday they're going to be outside of our window talking to us, saying hello, checking on us, making sure that everything's good to go. So pray for that family, Hyunshul, Nahyun, and Gahyun specifically. pray for her salvation. That's the reason that we're there. We're not there to make friends, although friends are great. We're not there to build a monument. We're there just to win souls. And Hyunshul is very close to our hearts. So pray for her. Pray for our Taekwondo class. I've talked to several of them in the past month about us coming home, and they're excited, almost as much excited as we are. They know why we're there, and they still want to have relationships with us. They still want to spend time with us. So pray that we'll see those children. Kwajong Nim is the Korean word for master, but my teacher, the owner of our school, pray that they'll get saved. That's obviously, I'm taking Taekwondo to try to downsize the temple, but I'm also taking it because we want to build those relationships. We're excited about the change that's going to happen this time. Like we told you before, without having a full-time pastor at the church, everybody in our area thought we were just a fill-in. And when we got past that first 90 days, first 6 months, they thought we were military or civilian. We got past that first year, they thought we were an extended military or civilian. And now that we've cleared 2 years, we were starting to see things change. People know who we are. Random people on the street call me Muksanim, which is pastor. I don't even know who they are. They know who I am. And so pray that we can see growth in our church. As you know, the reason we came back was the financial burden of the church. Our people are doing great. We've only We've only lost like $5,000 in the last 6 months. And that's all without my tithe and without my missions that normally go into that. So it's encouraging that we've been doing well, even with me being gone. And like Pastor said, the church can run without me. They don't need me there. But we know God has us there for a reason. So pray for the chaplain of Camp Carroll. Pray that God gives us a favorable chaplain. If I can get a favorable chaplain that will give me access, that will allow me to be involved in some of the chapel doings, allow me to be involved with the soldiers on post, that first step usually leads to the next step. So usually it's the chaplain leaving says, hey, I've got this guy who's helping with this. And the other chaplain's like, hey, it works. Let's keep going with it. And usually it takes quite a few chaplains before it falls apart. So just pray that God will give us a favorable chaplain, a man, I know it's hard to say, but or a woman that will allow us to help. And I know that that's difficult to think, a woman chaplain, they're there. But pray that God will give us a chaplain that will be favorable to us, that will allow us, as you know, the one that's there now, he PCS's out in October, so he's on his way out. So we will have a new chaplain after our quarantine. So pray that we can make contact with him or her, and we can be able to get on post. What we're doing now is great, but it's not the best. And so we're praying that God will give us access to those soldiers in a way that's different than just catching them at the gate and talking to them as they're trying to go get lunch, as they're on their way to catch a train or catch a bus to go to Taegu or wherever. Pray that we can gain access and that we'll see the military side of our ministry grow. I know right now without access, it's not the end of the world. I have a soldier who is going to be going on with me every couple of days for lunch, and we're just going to go walk the post and hand out tracts and invite people and talk to people and do our best to get them to come to our church that route. But there are those that are on post that are, I'm staying in America. I don't want to leave the boundaries of the post because I don't want to leave America. And there are quite a few that I've got everything I need here. There's no reason for me to go off post. Just because I'm in Korea doesn't mean I've got to see it. And so we've got to be able to reach those guys and those girls as well. So pray that we can get on post. Pray that these soldiers, that we can reach them with the gospel of Christ. Pray for our Korean language. That's going to be paramount to our ministry this term. We don't want to have Andrew get on the phone to make translation for us. I want to be able to share the gospel in their heart language with them. I don't want to have to pull my phone out app and pray that it's translating this gospel message properly. I've done it with Andrew and it's pretty close, but I'd rather be able just to share it with them in their language. So pray for us as we start that. Lila specifically, she's going to be starting in March, Lord willing, and she'll do 1 year. So she'll be there until December. And at that point, she should be able to communicate and pretty well. At the end of 1 year, she should be done with Topic 2, which is that's the term for their Korean, topical Korean is what they call it. But once she finishes, my goal is to go until I can pass the Topic 4 test. To pass that test, I have to be fluent in everything. I got to be able to read, I got to be able to write, got to be able to do more than just, you know, get up here and sing a song with a little bit of Korean. I've got to be able to understand what I'm communicating with and how I'm communicating. So pray for us. This term is going to be dedicated mostly to trying to learn the language of the Koreans so we can reach them as well without Andrew. Now, not that I don't, you know, and every time he says this, it's like, Pastor, you don't need me. Well, I don't need him. I need Andrew. But I know the Lord's going to call him away someday. I've watched his heart change in just the 2.5 years that we were there. And I need to be prepared that if God says, Andrew, go start a church, I don't want to be the reason why he doesn't. And so we're wanting to be prepared for that. So pray for our Korean language learning. We're going to put a lot into that while Leela's in school 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday. I get to be the head administrator of Mahaney Academy, so, or supervisor, whatever term we want to use. Gopher, yes. They might just be on lunch break for a permanent 4 hours while she's gone. But pray for that specifically. That is important, because that's 50% of our ministry. And if we can't communicate in half our ministry, what's the point? We're not going to be foreigners in a foreign country that only reach foreigners. We want to reach the Koreans. We want to see them saved. Pray for the COVID situation. Our president, about 3 weeks ago or so, said in a speech that personal liberty and religious freedom cannot be tolerated while the health of the nation is at risk. In other words, as long as COVID's around, your religious freedom doesn't matter. And we don't have the Constitution to fall back on like we do in the States. It's a different type of Constitution there. And being a foreigner in that country with a missionary visa, I have to abide by their rules. And so we're going to do our best to abide. Obviously, we're going to stay in our home for 2 weeks and not leave for anything. Hopefully it doesn't catch on fire, because I don't know how they're going to handle that. But we know, obviously, there's that joking aside. We're going to do what we can to follow their rules, but we're also not going to just roll over and close our church down. We're going to reach the Koreans. We're going to reach the military. So pray for us. I know you guys do already, but pray that God would reach Reagan and Nathan. As we said before, I believe that Nathan is either just there, or he was asking about baptism last week. So I think maybe we might be there, might start to understand a little bit. But pray that God would help my oldest boys to grow spiritually, and that Reagan would see salvation. Pray for those boys. They're going to public school in March. We've decided that that's the way for them to learn the language the best, and also a way for us to be able to build relationships, because they'll be invited to birthday parties. We can invite kids to birthday parties. We're going to have a way to be able to get our face in front of more parents. Our VBSs should explode with that, because my kids will be in school going, hey, come to our church, come to our VBS. Pray for them. This first year is going to be extremely difficult. Those of you that went to public school, if you remember how they handled the special ed kids, that's how my children are going to be treated in the public school in Korea. Just kind of a, let's just get you through so we don't have to deal with you until they learn the language. So Lord willing, it'll be a year or less, and they'll be able to speak it fluently or close. But pray for them. We're going to be doing the Mahaney Hagwon afterwards. So they'll get out of school at 2 o'clock, and then they'll come home, and they'll learn the math that they're not learning. They'll learn the English they're not learning. They'll learn the science and all that thing. So we're going to have them in American schools still, and they're not going to get away from Hagwons. We're just not going to pay as much for it. So pray for them as they do that this year, and that they would be a witness. They're going to have a chance to be before people that we won't see, most likely, that we won't be able to be in contact with, and we want them to be a witness, and we know that they're going to be. So pray for them specifically in that as well. I think that was my list. So just pray for us. We said it on deputation, and we didn't really understand it. It was just a nice cliche term to say that, financial support will get us there, but prayer support will keep us there. I understand the saying now. It's very true. Financial support will get us there, but it's really the prayer support of our church, of those that support us, praying for us. And I know you guys pray for us more than any church in the nation, because you guys know us personally. And we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your concerns, your notes, your everything. We love you guys, and we definitely appreciate that. Pastor.
Amen. If you would just step down there, and we will gather around. I'd ask you men to come gather around. I'd ask two or three of you maybe to pray, if you would, out loud for them and him and his family. He's given you specific things to pray for, okay? So we want to pray for those things.
would, just you know, lift up your voice, feel you pray out loud, and then we'll close it. We'll do the same, God. Brother Hawkins, would you start first? Father, we ask that you